let's open our Bibles to Psalm 32 as our starting point. And you're probably, most of us are familiar with the Psalm number 51, where David confesses his sins to God. But when you read here in Psalm 32, you get the feeling that in connection with that psalm of confession and possibly afterwards, David is writing this psalm here as well. And what a blessing it is. I hope you get a blessing from it. Now, although in Psalm 51 we're told the occasion or the reason for writing the psalm right at the beginning there, we're not told what circumstances led to the writing of Psalm number 32. But we're going to look at the first five verses, and I hope that it will be a help to you. And now this is meant to be a practical message where you will hopefully be able to apply what you learn. And it'll hopefully help you in your spiritual life, your relationship with God. Sometimes a practical message is aimed at helping you know how to get along with other people in your daily walk. And that's good. We need that. But sometimes we need to learn also how to get along with God and how to get a closer walk with Him. So let's read here, Psalm number 32, the first five verses. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to maintain a close relationship with you, to maintain the holy life that you want us to live, so that we can stay close to you and be led according to your ways and your instructions, your commandments. Lord, help us to have that as our greatest desire in this life that you've given us. Help us, Lord, to be someone that that you appreciate, that you enjoy seeing walk through this valley of darkness down here in this world, because we're a little bit of light that can shine here in the meantime until you come. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, one of the things that I think we don't take into account sometimes is dealing with daily sins, dealing with our present relationship with Jesus Christ, the relationship that we have with the Lord right now. And I think lots of times we've lost the power, we have lost the presence of God, we've lost the things that God has for us because we allow those sins to pile up. There is a power to purity, a health to holiness, and there's a communion in cleanliness. There are some strengths that we have by keeping right now a correct relationship with God. And if you have that, there's something that God has given you to help you through the day, to help you with some trials and temptations and afflictions and everything else, because you know and you understand that Jesus Christ is right with you and there's nothing between you and your Savior. And God has given us the ability to have all things right with Him at any given time. I'm speaking to Christians right now, but to the lost, He's given you the ability to come to Him and to accept Him, so you can do it too. But Christians, there is no excuse for us to have times in our life that there is a sin between us and God. Because we can come to God. We can make it right. We can bring that closeness back. We can work things out. And then things can be right between us and God. I don't think that we understand the long-lasting and the even sometimes irreparable harm that is done by us simply not keeping a right relationship with God. Just a couple of verses to make you think about it. Psalm 66, verse number 18, the Bible says there, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." You see, our prayers are hindered by allowing sin to stay in our heart and just letting it go instead of turning it over to God and getting it right. You see, you can't guarantee that you're not going to sin today or tomorrow, can you? You cannot guarantee that you're not going to have a thought that goes off in a stray direction, even in the next 5 minutes. You cannot guarantee any of those things, but God will and God does guarantee that you can keep things right with Him if you'll take it to Him immediately and get things right between you and God. And what a blessing that is. And yet we don't do it. We allow those little things to pile up. And what we do is we maintain a dirtiness between us and God. It's as if the window pane between you and God is just filled with dust, covered with dirt. And, you know, the first few specks, they're not so noticeable. And if you're someone who wears glasses, you know what I'm talking about better than the rest of us. You can still look through those things if there's just a speck of dirt right there on the lens. In fact, it's amazing how much dirt you can look through and not even realize it sometimes. And then it gets a little worse and it gets a little worse. And then finally you get to the point where you say, "Wow, what's wrong with my glasses? Or are my eyes going bad, man? What's wrong?" And for some reason, you pull them off and you look at them and you see that crud and you say, "Oh, that's it right there. There's the problem." And you know what happens to us as believers is we allow just a little bit to happen and we say, "Oh, I can pretend that's not there." Something else happens and something else happens and something else. And man, before you know it, there is a lot more between you and God than you ever imagined. And God enables us to have right now at all times a right relationship with Him. There's no excuse for anybody here to have unconfessed sin in your life from today right now. Okay, you should have taken care of it right already. You know, and yet we allow those things to go on, and then it weakens us. It takes away the power of the Spirit of God working in us. It takes away from answered prayer. It takes away from other things in our life. Isaiah 59, a very well-known passage. The first two verses of Isaiah 59 addresses this very same problem. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." Okay, so God is not weak. "Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." God has not gotten to where he can't hear you in his prayers anymore. It's not his problem, you know. It says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And you read down through there, it seems like some pretty serious sins, but as a believer, you have such an ability to make things right with God. By the way, if you lived under the Old Testament system and there was something wrong between you and God, man, it was a lot more complicated to make it right. But now the sacrifice, it's already been made. Jesus Christ has died on the cross. He's paid for that. It's all taken care of. And all we have to do is come to Him, confess that sin, turn it over to Him, and God says, "Okay, it's out of the way. Now let's go on." And we don't do that, and it leaves us in an unsteady relationship with God. And it keeps us from having His power in our lives. It keeps us from realizing and understanding His presence. It keeps us from getting our prayers answered. It takes away from so many things, some things we probably don't even know, when it would be so easy to make it right. God has made it easy to make things right with him, and we don't do it. You know, just, Lord, I messed up. That was a sin. Lord, please take it away. Help me to go in the right direction from now on. But we get too proud, don't we? And so we don't do it. Now, God opens up a way here in Psalm 32, verse 5. In Psalm 32, verse 5, he opens up this way. Let's look at it again. Here's what David says. There's four statements there, and we're going to find out that this is the process by which you can get your relationship with God back to where it needs to be, back where God wants it to be, and where you ought to want it to be. In verse number 5, the first thing David says is, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. All right, so first of all, we're going to look at confession. Okay, now he mentions the word confession later, but this is truly confession. In some of your dictionaries, it says confess means to admit wrongdoing. And that's true here, and it's true many times that we use it, but it's not really a good Bible definition of confess. Okay, if it means to admit wrongdoing, okay, if that's the only thing it means, then what does it mean to confess Jesus Christ? See, that it doesn't fit there, does it? Does it mean, please forgive me for believing in Jesus Christ because that's my wrongdoing? No, that doesn't work. So Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay, so confess is not just admitting wrongdoing. If you look at the word and just kind of break it up a little bit, it means to say with, in agreement with, okay? Now, you know, the Bible talks about professions and it talks about confessions, pro, con, okay? And I believe that if you'll just take your King James Bible and study this topic out, you'll come to find out confessions, they're always true, okay? Professions, they may be true or they may be false, okay? Profession, that's what you say outwardly so that others can hear, okay? In 1 Timothy 6:12 and 13, Paul told Timothy that he professed a good profession before many witnesses, okay? Just like the Lord Jesus Christ did before Pontius Pilate. His profession was a good profession. Okay? Well, that means that you can have a bad confession, or profession, rather. Sorry. Now I've got you confused. Profession. Okay? You can profess good, you can profess bad. Okay? Different things, depending on what it is. The Bible talks about people who, for example, profess science, falsely so called, and that causes them to err from the faith. Okay, it talks about women who profess godliness, proving it to be true by good works and by modesty. Okay, and the Bible talks about those who do not glorify God, who, when they profess to be wise, they make themselves fools. You know, but true Christians, they ought to be professing, they ought to also be professing. I mean, profess does not mean it's false. It just means that it is said for others to hear. The word confess means to say it with God, to agree with God on it and say, yes, Lord, that is right. To confess Christ means that you're saying, yes, Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ. To confess your sins means, yes, Lord, I have sinned. That is a sin. And you're acknowledging it with the Lord. Because he said it's a sin. You're saying, yes, you're right. It is a sin. Okay? So the idea of confession means to say with someone. It's personal. He says here in verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. Okay, it's a personal thing. I acknowledge it. I say, this is my sin. I own this sin. You say, what do you mean you own it? It means that you claim that it's your sin. I mean, God already knows that you sinned, doesn't he? But here, you're confessing. You're saying, with God, yes, that's my sin. You're not arguing with him about it. You know, you're saying, yes, you're right. I agree. It's my sin. That's the one I did. Okay, but it's not only personal, but it's specific. Let's look in Leviticus chapter 5, verse number 5. Chapter 5 and verse 5. Right in the middle of the offerings here, but here's a verse that helps us understand confession. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. Okay, let me read it one more time. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. You know what confession is? It is naming your sin. Okay. By the way, the Catholics have that part right. You know, they take you into the confession booth and there's a little curtain there and the priest is on the other side and you're on this side and you're supposed to tell him what you have done. You say, well, what did they get wrong? Well, the thing they got wrong is you're not supposed to tell that guy. Okay, that's the wrong priest. We're to tell the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says here, confession means that you say, this is the thing that I have done. Okay, it says again in verse 5 that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. You know what that is? That's humiliating. You know how I like to confess? Lord, you know I'm a sinner. Is that good enough? Well, that's not telling the Lord that I have sinned in that thing, is it? Okay? Just, oh, we're all sinners, Lord. I'm one of them. No, that's not specific, is it? Okay? Now, I know some people run into the problem and they say, what if I can't remember all of the things? We're not going to remember all of the things. I mean, and that's what Martin Luther had trouble with. Before he understood what grace was, they said he would spend 2 or 3 hours confessing every sin that he could think of. I mean, there was a priest on the other side listening to him for all that time, and they got tired of it. and he'd leave, and then in a few minutes, he thought of something else, and he'd come back, and they'd say, please, Luther, would you not tell us everything? You know, he's trying to hit everything, doesn't want to miss a thing. Well, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the thing is, if you confess the sins that you know, the Lord will take care of the rest. So you don't have to worry about whether you remember everything. Okay? But those that God brings to your attention, you know, those are the ones you bring to God. Okay? Those things that you know, those are the things that you're supposed to say, God, I did that. And that was a sin. And you see, the thing is, confession means to say it with God. God has already said that it's a sin. Now you call it a sin. You say, preacher, you just don't understand. I got some things that kind of hit me over and over again. Do you? Well, just keep going over it, over and over to God. Okay? You say, well, it's kind of embarrassing though. Well, it's not embarrassing for you when you did it, right? You did it before God, didn't you? He already knows. Take it to him. He's ready to forgive you. See, the thing is, confession means to go and take it to God. Say, God, this is a sin that I have committed. You have smitten my heart. You've pointed it out to me. I recognized it as a sin. And Lord, I know that right that thing right there was a sin. That thing I said, that thing I thought, the thing that I just did, what I just went through, that was a sin. And Lord, please forgive me of my sin. You say, wait a minute, aren't we forgiven if we're going to heaven? Yes, we have an eternal relationship with God, which is in Christ, and which cannot be touched even by you if you're saved. And praise God for that positional place that we have in Christ. We are accepted in the beloved. But there's an ongoing, on this earth, daily relationship with God that can be made better or worse depending on what you do with your daily sins. That is your daily walk with God. And in order to maintain the strength of a daily walk with God, we must confess our sins to Him personally. Lord, it's my sin. I own it. I accept that it is my sin, Lord, that I did. And you name it. Okay, now I'm not talking about name it and claim it stuff here. I'm telling you, name it and give it up because it's forgiven. Okay, but you name it, you say, Lord, that's my sin that I've committed, and then you can go on and you can start growing. Okay, well, let's go on. You say, what do you do with your daily sin? Well, first of all, you confess it, and then the next one fits right in with that. And I don't know if it's in order or anything, but this is the order I'm giving it to you. You've got to uncover. That's the next one, uncover. Part of dealing with sin is uncovering that sin. Okay, he says again in verse 5 of Psalm 32, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. Have I not hid? Okay, if it's not hid, you've uncovered it. Okay, now you got to realize sin involves us covering up. Okay, that's just so natural for us. We cover sin. We cover it in our heart. You know what you want to do? You want to sweep the dirt under the rug. That's kind of what we do with our sins. We want to just cover it over. We want to say, oh, let's just kind of pretend like that didn't happen. And boy, I'm glad God is a forgiving God. And I just want to go on and pretend like that didn't happen. And God says, no, you can't cover it up. Okay, you can't cover it up. That's not going to work. You know, there's three things mentioned in the Bible that we often use as a picture of how temptation works. And these things match. If you take them and you start putting them together, you see they match so great. It's the temptation of Adam and Eve. Okay, think about that. They're in the garden. And then the second one is the temptation of Achan when he took of the forbidden objects there when they went into Jericho. And then the temptation of David when he sinned with Bathsheba. And in each case, you can follow through. If you go over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you'll find that their temptation goes through that exact pattern, each one of them. They saw something. They liked what they saw. They lusted after it. They took it because they wanted it for themselves, for something that it would do for them, you know, reputation or prestige. Eve did it because she was told that she and Adam could be as gods. Achan, he wanted that Babylonish garment. David just wanted to have what he wanted. Okay, but what we don't realize is sometimes in the reaction to sin, after they sin, not only in the temptation that brought them into sin, but as they come out on the other side, there's a pattern that you can follow. Okay, look back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 is where this starts. So I'll just get you caught up with the temptation and the sin. Verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, Okay, that's the lust of the flesh. It was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Okay, oh, it's going to make me wise. That's pride of life. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know what they, you know why they did that? They're trying to cover up their sins. And then they tried to hide. Look at verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. All right, and so what you find here is they try to cover up and they try to hide. And those are the things that you find throughout the stories of sin. When we sin, we try to cover it up. We try to hide. We try to put it away and hope nobody noticed. Okay, now before I take you to the sin of Achan in Joshua 7, I want to show you where Job also speaks of Adam's sin. It's in the book of Job, chapter 31. Just a very interesting short verse there. Verse 33 says, "If I covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom." Covering and hiding. That's what he did with his sin. He covered and he hid. Now look at Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. Okay, so Achan, he took the things that he was not supposed to take. Joshua chapter 7, verse 19 says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." Okay, and then it says in verse 21, okay, and he's confessing. Achan is confessing. He says, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." Okay, he hid. He hid. All right, in David's case, you're not going to find, or I couldn't find a verse that talks about David hiding. But when you think about what he did, you realize that once David realized that he was going to be found, it was going to be found out what he did, as soon as, obviously, as soon as Bathsheba became large with child, he tried to cover up more than one time and ended up having to kill Uriah as part of that cover up. And so, when David thought that he had gotten away with it, God sent the prophet Nathan to remind David that his sin is completely exposed before God. He said, "For thou didst it secretly," okay, "thou didst it secretly." But then he told him the consequences were going to be right out in the open for everybody to see. Okay, you can read about that yourself in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Okay, now the thing is, you cannot be right with God as long as you are hiding your sin. You say, "But God knows." Yeah, but you are hiding it, or you think you are. Okay, you're not opening up to him. He says, "Mine iniquity have I not hid." Okay, now you say, "But David did hide it." Yes, he did, but he had to come to the point where he was ready to uncover it. See, there's so much here. Please, let's go look at Proverbs 28. Let's just do a little Bible study on this point. Proverbs 28, verse 13. See, as long as you don't confess, you are covering. You either confess your sin or you're covering it. Okay, if you ignore your sin, you're covering it up as well. Okay, you're just kind of pretending like it's not there. You're just trying to get it out of the way. But you cannot get things right with God that way. Now, here's the good news. I know the Bible says confess your faults one to another, But we're not told to confess our sins one to another, are we? No, there's a difference. Okay? We're not told that in order to get our sins taken care of, you have to go to somebody else. You don't even have to come to me and tell me what you did wrong in order to get that forgiven. Isn't that good? And I don't have to go to you and tell you what I did wrong in order to get right with God. I have a great high priest in heaven. I go to him and he will take care of it. I know he will. But the thing is that you still must go to him. You must take it to him. Now, you might feel like this is just something deep and spiritual, but I'm trying to get you to see how practical this is. And if you'll see that, it's going to help you if you'll understand this. So let's look here. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." If you cover your sins, you are not going to prosper. What's the opposite of covering your sins? It's confessing. So you confess your sins, but if you haven't confessed known sins, if you don't confess them, you're covering them. Okay? You may not even be telling God, "Oh no, I didn't do that." I'm not saying that you're lying to God. I'm not saying that you're denying your sins, but you are covering them. Okay? Now, in order to make things right with God, you uncover them. Look at Proverbs 30. Now, this one doesn't use the word, but Proverbs 30 is just a good illustration of covering up your sins. Proverbs 30, verse 20. "Such is the way of an adulterous woman." Picture this woman here. "She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness." See that? She partakes of her sin. She wipes her mouth and says, "What are you looking at? I didn't do anything." You know what she's doing? Pretending nothing happened. And that is what God calls a covering of your iniquities, a covering of your sins. Look with me to Hosea chapter 13. Hosea, that's right after Daniel. Hosea chapter 13 and verse number 12. Here's what happens when you hide your sin. "The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is hid." When you hide your sin, it binds it up. It becomes part of you. It wraps it up real good. It's there. And salvation, now that's not affected, but your right relationship with God, that is affected. And in order to make it right with God, you need to unbind it. You uncover it. You open it up to God and he's going to take care of it. By the way, confession is connected with that type of opening up. All right, turn to Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, verse 18, Paul, he's out there doing a work for God in Ephesus. And notice what happens in verse 18. Acts 19, 18 says, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." Okay, showing, isn't that an uncovering? Sure is. Now, in this case, they showed them publicly because these were public deeds. Their deeds included the black arts and the occult and all kinds of other wicked practices. So they showed their deeds. They brought their books and they burned them. You know what? You know what one of the most evil things that you could do according to the liberals, you know what it would be? Burn books. You know what? You ought to check your library. You might have some books there that you need to burn. Just get rid of them. You don't need those books. God seemed to think that it was a pretty good thing when the Ephesians burned those books. And it says they confessed and showed their deeds. And so God says, okay, now you don't have to tell everybody else, but you do need to uncover it. And our natural tendency is, Okay, let's kind of pretend that it didn't happen. Anyway, you know I'm a sinner, don't you, Lord? No, that's not enough. Yeah, but Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Why am I not close to you? He says, that's not enough. That big blanket statement, I'm a sinner just like everybody else, that's not good enough. Okay? And you say, yeah, but Lord, I know I don't do some things right and everything, but I still don't feel very close to you. He says, you don't understand. You have got to uncover it. Lord, Lord, this is one of my sins. This is it. This is what it is, Lord, right here. And this is what I did, Lord, and I'm sorry. Okay? And you just picture the Lord crunching up a piece of paper and tossing it away, never to be seen again. Okay? It's gone. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You see, you uncover it. God says, that's all I needed you to do right there. You confessed it, you uncovered it, it's taken care of. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is the confrontation of confession. Okay? Let's just go on here. Go back with me to Psalm 32 now in verse number 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Okay, now we know about confession already. So what's the new element that we see here? What's the thing that's really emphasized? I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. It's confronting and being confronted by God concerning your sins. It means coming face to face with God and talking about your sins. And you know, that is unpleasant. Did you ever have to go to somebody and tell them that you messed up? Maybe your wife, honey, I really didn't mean that. And you wonder why kids have so much trouble saying, I'm sorry. I mean, they struggle with that when you try and tell them, son, you go tell that kid you're sorry. You know, it's frightening for a kid, right? Haven't you ever wondered about that? I mean, it's a pretty easy thing to say the words, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But you know, it's a mess. A kid does something wrong, breaks something, tears something up. You say, go tell them you're sorry. And man, you look at the look on that kid's face, and you would think that you held a gun to their head and told them to jump off this bridge, or I'll shoot you. The thing is, we're just as bad. We're just as bad or worse. We say, but I know I'm a sinner. We can do that. We often do, but to come to God and say, Lord, I've been holding this. I'm sorry. This is my sin here. Here it is. Lord, I'm sorry. That is what I did just a little while ago. Lord, I'm sorry. Would you take care of that? Well, that's exactly what God wants us to do. Look at the confrontation here. He's talking in verses 1 and 2 of how blessed that man is that God has forgiven and has not imputed his iniquity to him. But look at verses 3 and 4. He's going back and he's remembering. Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4 says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. You know what he's doing? He's describing those days before Nathan pointed that finger at him and said, thou art the man, David. He's talking about those days right before Nathan accused him and said, thou art the man. He said, I couldn't get away from it. I kept silence, but my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Now, 2 Samuel 11 is where he sins. 2 Samuel 12 is where Nathan says, you're the man that did it. You're the one I'm talking about. And if you read that with this knowledge, it's almost like, oh God, thank you. Have you ever seen this? I've seen it with kids. In fact, I saw this very thing on an expose where some pedophiles had been caught in the act. And rather than trying to run away, they sat there with a look of relief on their faces that they'd finally been caught, almost glad that they were caught. And they didn't deny it. They didn't try to get away with it, didn't lie about it. But they were actually relieved that they were caught. You know, I mean, they've been running from it. They've been hiding and sneaking around and everything else. And when they get caught, they say, I have sinned. You know, David, he's ready to confess. He's ready. Now, that's what's different between David and some of the others. Now, yes, he did wait. He did terribly. But when he was caught red-handed, he said, I'm sorry. And when he said that, he meant it. Okay? And you know what? We get to the point where we're hiding our sins. And why? Why do we do that? Why don't we just take it to God who says, this is what you do to make things right with me? Why don't we do it then? Because we don't want to have to go to God and say, Lord, this is what I did. Especially when you start doing it. Here's one of the terrible things. When you start doing it, you start figuring out all the stuff that you're doing that you shouldn't do. And you start recognizing how often you mess up. And it starts kind of getting old. It gets old, kind of old. But see, when you lose your desire to really be right with God, then you start saying things like, it's not really that important. I don't think it's important. Well, there you are hiding it again. You're hiding it. And when you look here, he says, I tried to hide it, but that didn't work. about had a heart attack. And so you come before the Lord and you're opening up to him. And look at Psalm 51. This is the other psalm I mentioned. It deals with David's crying out. And here's the middle of it when he's crying out for repentance. Psalm 51, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned. Okay, remember he said, I'm going to confess my transgression unto the Lord. Here he says, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Well, if you look at it from our standpoint, God was not the one that David did wrong to, was he? Okay, what about Uriah the Hittite? Didn't David mistreat him? You know, he took his wife. That's not right. He killed him. Certainly not good. And yet when it comes right down to it, he says, against thee, speaking to the Lord, against thee, thee only have I sinned. What has happened is he has brought to this point in his spiritual experience, and he says, God, what I did, this was against you. This was ultimately and primarily against you. Lord, I have offended you. I have gone against the God of heaven and earth. I've gone against the Holy One of Israel. He understood that. And there was that confrontation. And you know what? I will say this. If you confess your sins quick, the confrontation is not so bad. But when you hold on to them for a while, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And he says here, he says, I want to come. I want to make it right. Look at Psalm 38, verse 18. Very short verse there. Psalm 38, verse 18. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. You see, that acknowledging, that confession of sin involves a sorrow. I will be sorry for my sin. Listen, if you know what you're doing, and you know what sin is, and you know you did it, and you go to God and you start telling him, Lord, this is what I did against you today. Man, you can't do that without it pricking your conscience. I mean, it hurts. It hurts. You ever tried to tell somebody you really hurt them? You saw that it hurt them, and you had to go to them and say, I'm sorry I hurt you like I did, and what I did was wrong. Man, it hurts them, but I'm telling you, it hurts to tell them also. It's a time, it's a confrontation of sorts where he's not out to get you, no, but you feel the pressure, you feel the stress of doing it, and yet it's a time that you turn away, and I think that's the reason that we don't do it, because it's humiliating. It's a stressful thing to come to Almighty God and say, God, I messed up. But that's the only way you can stay clean, stay in fellowship with him. So my points, I said you got confession. That means admitting you did it by name, that it's your sin. Okay, uncovering, which is connected to that. And then confrontation, which is, it's all connected, but you know, it all results, every time it results in cleansing. Okay, Psalm 32 verse 5, one more time, says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Reminds me there of the prodigal son, that young man who had rebelled against his father. He got out there in the pig pen. He's starving to death. And in Luke chapter 15, we're just not going to read the whole thing, but we'll jump right in the middle of it, read a few verses out of that story. Luke chapter 15, and we'll read verses 17 to 24. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. We get to that point and we think it's the end of the world, and I guess I'm going to have to go to God and get things right. And you come to him and you say, God, I'm not even worthy. You ever felt that way? I don't know how you can go through life as a Christian and not feel that way sometimes. Lord, I'm not even worthy to be a child of God. I'm not worthy to belong in heaven or any good thing you might have. Lord, I'm just such a mess. And you know what? At that time, the Lord has compassion, and he comes, and he brings you in, and he sets you in a high place, and he shows his love to you, and he just blesses you. And just when you realize how unworthy you are, that's when he starts pouring on the blessings. That's when that happens. What a great God. What a great God he is. But there's that forgiveness that comes. And there's that that cleansing that makes things right between you and God. Again, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Well, why does God have to be faithful? Because we have to keep coming to Him, confessing our sins over and over again, so He's got to be faithful to forgive us over and over again. And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. You know what? You take what you know on your heart, you take it to God, everything you know that you've done wrong now, and you bring it to Him, and He says, that is a sacrifice in which I'm well pleased. And He takes that whole thing. And I think so often, I believe, the sins that we recognize as sins, they're probably just the tip of the iceberg. I think for every sin that you recognize where you know you messed up, there's probably 9 or 10 out there that you didn't catch on to yet. You're not aware of. You still don't get the picture. You say, how do you know that, brother? Because as I continue growing in the Lord, I start recognizing sins that I didn't even know were sins. Okay? God says you probably shouldn't be doing that either. Oops. But you know what He does? You take those that are out there that you know about, and you stop hiding it, take it out, show it to God, own it as your own. Lord, this is my sin. I committed it against You, Lord. I want to give it to You now. I name it. You name it, you give it to God. He comes to you every time. He is what? He's faithful every time that you do this. If you have to do it 2 dozen, 3 dozen times a day, if you could just imagine a huge blackboard full of all the other sins you didn't even know about, He just wipes that whole slate clean, wipes it all clean, and all is right between you and your God again. So why do we let it go so long? Pride. Is it pride? Well, to a great degree, I think it is. We get too proud to go to God and say, Lord, this is a sin and I messed up. We lose our closeness to God because we will not confess our sins to Him on a daily and sometimes almost moment by moment basis. Have you sinned today? Just search your own heart. You know, don't raise your hand or tell me about it, but I just want to get you thinking. Have you sinned today? Well, have you confessed it to God today? Is this your habit? Do you wonder why you don't walk with God as you'd like to and have at times, at previous times you have walked with God? You know, you want those back? Maybe what you need to do today is just make a clean slate. Where you say, I know I messed up, but I just can't even remember right now what it was. Then what you need to do is come to Psalm 139. Last two verses there, verses 23 and 24. And you say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You come to God and you say, Lord, this is all I can remember right now. If there's anything else that I need to get right, would you please remind me of it? And please just make everything clean between you and me. And I'll tell you what, when you do that, He comes rejoicing. You know what happened to that prodigal son? That prodigal son, he didn't feel worthy anymore. He was getting ready to say, I just want to be your servant right now. And the father wouldn't even let him say it. He said, kill the fatted calf. Bring that ring. Bring a new garment for him. Let's have a feast. You know what God wants to do? He wants to say, Would you just make things clean with me? Empty your pockets. Quit hiding stuff. Just show it to me. Open up to me. And we'll have a feast. We'll have a feast if you'll just come and make things right with me now. And oh, that we would do this today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and just make a habit of making things right with God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for showing us where we have failed and where and the reasons why possibly we don't have the relationship with you that we desire to have, that we ought to have, that you want us to have. Father, we pray that you'll help us to examine ourselves. We pray that you would show us the things that maybe we haven't recognized as sins, or we've forgotten about, or we did recognize them, we're just sweeping it under the rug and hoping you don't notice. Help us to realize, Lord, you do notice, and it is affecting our walk with you, and help us, Lord, to just go ahead and confront the sin in our lives, that you might rejoice that we did it, that we came to you, and clean the slate, and help us to get back together and enjoy fellowship with you again. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.